Barbarian Tribes of Rome, Visigoths, Part 2, Alaric II to the End. Now, in contrast to his father, Alaric II is seen historically as an incompetent, weak ruler compared to Euric. However, he did have his own fair share of political and military success. For instance, he famously assisted Theodoric the Great in the campaign against Odoacer in Italy, assisting Theodoric when he was being trapped by Odoacer in Paris in 490. Possibly his biggest contribution to the Visigoths in terms of battle was the capture of the city of Dertosa in 506. When it comes to contributions in the legal sense, Alaric II appointed a commission that would draft an abstract which contained Roman imperial laws and decrees. Roman subjects living under Alaric were to follow these sets of laws. They were commonly known as the Breviary of Alaric or the Breviarium Alaricum. Alaric's death would come in 507 in the infamous Battle of Vouillay. Years before the battle, Alaric had a rival with the Frankish king Clovis and was in fact intimidated by him. The two had already produced a treaty in 502, and Clovis was on good terms with Theodoric the Great, but it didn't stop him from moving his troops in the Visigothic lands. Alaric met Clovis on the battlefield and, as contemporary sources claim, lost his life to the Frankish king himself. Alaric's kingdom lost a good portion of its land after his death, most of it to the invading Franks. However, the worst blow to the kingdom was the incompetence of his heirs, dissolution of the Balthi rule over the kingdom of Toulouse. Amalaric was the legitimate son of Alaric II and Theodoric's daughter, Theodegotha, making him both Balthi and Amali by blood. However, he was not the first son of the Visigothic king. The first son was the illegitimate Gesalic, who was voted into succeeding the throne because Amalaric was just an infant at the time. However, Gesalic was an incompetent ruler who was overthrown in 511 when his capital, Narbonne, was plundered by the Burgundian king Gundobad. Theodoric took control of the kingdom, acting as a regent for his grandson until he came of age. Gesalic would be killed sometime in 513. Amalaric would eventually grow up and take the Visigothic throne in 522. During his reign, he married Clovis's daughter, Crotilda, but according to some contemporary sources, he wanted her to convert to Arian Christianity and had even beaten her to the point of bleeding. Her brother was Childebert, the king of the Franks, and after he was sent a towel stained with her blood, he took action against Amalaric. Childebert's army crushed Narbonne, and the Visigothic king was forced to flee to Barcelona in 531. During his time there, he was assassinated by his own men, with some historians suspecting that Theudis, the king, would succeed Amalaric, who was somehow involved. Amalaric's death was the last of the Balthi and a bit of a sad footnote in history. For most of his life, he was no more than a puppet for his grandfather's ambition, but his name clearly tells us who the dynasty in charge was during the waning days of the Visigothic kingdom. When the Amali would continue to rule for a while longer in the Ostrogothic Italy, the Balthi would more or less cease to be with the death of the king. Now, Visigothic Spain remained largely independent throughout the 6th and 7th centuries until it was crushed by the Muslim Umayyad invaders in probably the easiest date to remember, 711. The list of kings that followed the Balthi dynasty holds an amazing number of 25 kings. During their reign, the old kingdom of Toulouse would hold different names, such as the Arian kingdom of Hispania, the Catholic kingdom of Toledo. The kings in question included Theodis, Theodisil, Agila I, Anthilgild, Luvia I, Luvigild, Recared I, Luvia II, Witteric, Gundamar, Sesput, Recared II, Suntilla, Senestant, Chanilla, Tulga, Chandasunith, Rekawith, Wamba, Erwig, Egica, Witzka, Roderick, Killa II, and Ardo. Of these kings, the monarch of historical note are Theudis, Recared I, Suntilla, and Rekawith, the last three kings on the list. Theudis was the first non-Balti monarch of the Visigoths and got his claim to fame as the sword-bearer of Theodoric the Great. Theudis was a skilled warrior, but he was also a monarch who respected the church, and even showed leniency towards Catholics, which wasn't very common of Gothic kings that practiced Arian Christianity. His relatives would rule the Ostrogothic kingdom in his waning years. after he was killed in the palace by a man who pretended to be mad in 548. St. Isidoric of Seville, an archbishop and a scholar at the time, wrote that Theodas, as he lay bleeding on the floor, ordered for his murderer to be spared because the murder was just, Theodas paying his dues for a similar crime, the murder of his monarch. Ricard I ruled from 586 to 601. His ascension to power would result in the most drastic change in Visigothic religious history. The very next year, in 587, Ricard would renounce the Arian Christianity and declare himself Catholic, and most of his closest allies in the church followed suit. This move, however, led to many Arian uprisings, all of which the king squashed. Ricard also showed a massive intolerance toward the Jewish population, persecuting them and formally forbidding their religious practices. He would die of natural causes in his capital at Toledo. Sun Attila's reign was marked by both peace and by reclaiming of territories which the Byzantine emperor held under its control. But more importantly, it was during Suntila's reign that we saw the most important unifying action of the Iberian Peninsula, using the term Mater Spania for the first time. Linguistically speaking, this was the first time in history that the term Spain was actually used for these lands. Recaswinth ruled from 649 to 672, and interestingly, out of a single rebellion, Spania enjoyed a period of peace from 653 to the death of Recaswinth. Most like Ricard I, Recaswinth was anti-Jewish, but he was also tolerant in other aspects of his political career. In 654, for example, he sought to replace the breviary of Alaric with a new code of laws that both the Goths and Hispano-Roman citizens were to follow. This was enhanced in an enriched version of the Liber Judicorum, which his father, Chindiswith, promulgated back in 642 and 643. It was notably more influenced by Roman laws with very little Germanic influence. While he was in power, the church councils became the highest authority of the kingdom, almost rivaling that of the monarch. In terms of the last three kings, we should note a historical discrepancy. Roderic, often cited as the last Visigothic king before the Umayyad Caliphate invaded Spain in 711. While it is true the king was defeated by the Muslim commander Jabral Tariq at the Battle of Guadalete, Aquileia II was also in power during this time, probably as a rival to Roderic. We know very little about either of the two rulers, but we can ascertain that Aquileia held only a small portion of the old Visigothic kingdom when the Umayyad invaders began their conquest. Ardo is the very last king of the Visigoths whose historical records we actually have. He ruled from 714 to 721 for a grand total of 7 years, more likely defending a small section of territory, Septimania and modern-day Catalonia, from the Muslim invaders. With his death and the capture of Narbonne, the last vestiges of the Visigothic kingdom was gone. Now, in the next show, we'll begin looking at the culture of the Goths. Now, the sources for this, The Germanic People, Their Origin, Expansion, and Culture, by Owens, Attila the Hun, by Worrell, The Burgundians, by Charles River, The History of the Ostrogoths, by Burns, and The History of the Vandals, by Jacobson, as well as The History of the Barbarians. So I hope you enjoyed that, and as always, don't forget to come by the website, summahistorica.com or historyaccordingtobob.com, and ask a question, leave a comment, check out our merchandise, and if you like what we're doing, please feel free to support us. Thank you very much.